Hello, and welcome to the Perpetual Notion Machine. I'm your host tonight, Kate Poppy. Here with us today is Samantha Mulrooney to talk about the Wisconsin Science Festival. Mulrooney is the director for the Wisconsin Science Festival and event and outreach manager for the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery. In 2023, Mulrooney expanded the festival to 51 counties across the state, including 90 cities, and worked with 143 local organizers to bring science access to everyone in Wisconsin. This year, the Science Festival will be held October 14th through the 20th. Thanks for being here, Sam.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So could you tell us a little bit about what the Wisconsin Science Festival is and how it got started?
Sure, yeah. So the easiest way to think about it is the Wisconsin Science Festival is a statewide celebration of all things science, technology, art, and the people involved in that. So it is a week-long collection of events that are happening all throughout the state this year, October 14th through the 20th. And it's something for everybody. It's all ages. It's not just a youth event. It's for families. It's for adults. It's for everybody that's just interested in learning more and being curious about the world around them. So it started in 2011 and headquartered in Madison and has just since continued to grow and blossom. This year will be our biggest festival yet. And it's our 14th year celebrating agriculture along with the science and art that we typically highlight with the festival.
And so who puts this on typically?
It's a festival created by our entire state, really, if you think about it that way. Since it's a statewide event, there are event hosts in every corner of the state. So that's libraries, museums, nature centers, pubs hosting events. So we are, like I said, headquartered in Madison. We have partner organizations within UW-Madison, Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, the Mortgage Institute for Research. But then there are the statewide event hosts that contribute their events that help amplify the festival. So really, it's a community-driven program that it's amazing to see the network continue to grow.
And you mentioned this is the biggest year yet, so I'm curious how many counties are in this year? How many local organizers?
Yeah, so it is the biggest year yet, which is just continues to baffle my mind as to how many events keep coming through. We had more come through even yesterday, and we're just about 2 weeks out from the festival. But we have over 600 event occurrences statewide. There are just under 200 venues and 51 counties. We'll hopefully, I think, get above that number still yet this year. But yeah, it's mind-blowing how many events we have coming through. The word is out and that snowball effect is happening. So we're proud of that.
Yeah, even within the last month, I visited the site a couple times, and every time I'm on the site, it's different. There's new events. So it's really exciting.
Yep, yeah. We have, you know, a lot of our featured events that we host here in Madison and our statewide initiatives that we promote. But yeah, each and every day, there's new events coming through.
So you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I'm curious about the feature this year, agriculture. So why that theme, and where can we see that theme popping up in the events in the area?
Yeah, for sure. So each year for the festival, I would say for the past about 4 or 5 years, we've tried to make a more conscious effort to have a feature of the festival, not in a way that we try and exclude anybody. So we don't, you know, we don't require it as a component of all of the statewide events. It's not exactly, you know, what the true sense of the word theme might be. It's more of a feature. And agriculture obviously is just such an important part of our state's economy. Our, you know, the livelihood of our state is very centered around agriculture and the innovation that's coming with it. Our state is a leader in a lot of the new products, new crops, new ideas around agriculture. So it's just a fun way to highlight that and bring in, you know, new folks to the festival family is what we say, right? Is expanding that network and adding to that group of folks that can just really contribute, that the local experts that can come into our festival and really help expand what we're able to communicate. So throughout the events in the festival, you'll see a lot of the statewide events have agriculture themes or undertones. We have a lot of local farms participating. The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is doing a corn maze challenge. We have places like the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center out in Manitowoc participating. And it's just, again, it's been really nice to see that network continue to expand. And every conversation I have about the festival and what it is, people just kind of, they get it, they latch on. It's the missions align, and we just kind of roll from there. And the events that are coming from it are just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really nice to see so much support across the state, for sure.
Yep, exactly, exactly. And it's just, you know, getting to meet with the people that are really passionate about their work and communicating about science and technology and art, for that matter, is just, it's the best part of my job.
So what is the Wisconsin Institute for Discovery and the Illuminating Discovery Hub? And how does the mission of the interdisciplinary research connect with the Wisconsin Science Festival?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the Institute for Discovery is a research institute on UW-Madison's campus. It's a public research institution that is very much so focused on interdisciplinary work. So there's researchers collaborating on all sorts of different scientific research projects that are housed within the Discovery Building, as well as other labs on UW-Madison's campus. Within the WID, Wisconsin Institute for Discovery, there is a hub called the Illuminating Discovery Hub, which focuses very much so on science and art coming together. There are several different programs that are housed within the Illuminating Discovery Hub, one of those being the Wisconsin Science Festival. So how those missions align is very much so tied to the science and art going hand in hand and helping folks think differently about what it is to be curious and creative at the same time. So, the Science Festival, that's how it started. A group of brilliant minds came together in 2010 to kind of come up with the idea of having a festival. And, okay, well, this is a great way to expand upon the Wisconsin idea and the notion that our state's borders are kind of the beneficiaries of Wisconsin research and Wisconsin education. So, I think really it's tied to the art and science coming together.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, are there other states that do a similar festival?
Yeah, so there's something called the Science Festival Alliance that is basically a group of other science festivals, and it's a global group, but every year we get to come together. There's some really key science festivals in our country that we get to collaborate with, get to figure out best practices and talk to each other on. North Carolina has a really great statewide science festival, Michigan State, the Bay Area. So just a fun group of individuals that are really interested in promoting science communication.
And the biggest event in the science festival is the Science on the Square. Could mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Science on the Square started 2016. I should really know that off the top of my head. It's been going on now for several years, and 2018, actually, I think, fact check. And it started out really as a way to bring science to where the people are, right? So downtown Madison is such an iconic part of our city. And the goal of the event at that first year was to just really engage with people that are out having a dinner out or a couple drinks in a pub somewhere, and just getting them to chat about science or be curious. We have a lot of hands-on activities that we bring downtown. So that is and also a way to engage with the local businesses downtown. The event expanded to be partnered with the Madison Night Market a few years back, and that was just such a wonderful decision to really help expand the capacity of Science on the Square. So the event itself now, in conjunction with the Madison Night Market, is basically just an expanded version of the night market. So there's hands-on science activities, both alongside of the market vendors on State Street and around the Capitol, as well as in some of the participating businesses downtown. So there's like stargazing on the rooftop of Parthenon. There's, Fontana Sports is usually involved and has scientists in their building, Teddy Wedgers. So it's been great to build connections with those local business partners as well.
So I want to jump back real quick to outreach in counties and the other areas. Last year, the Wisconsin Science Festival had events spanning across 51 counties and 90 cities. How do you work with local organizers in these counties to bring access to the Wisconsin Science Festival?
Yeah, so a couple years back, we actually started doing, actually, I think it was during the pandemic, we started doing a virtual kickoff party. And since everybody was just so much more accustomed to virtual calls and things like that, we started hosting that. And I think that was a really good turning point for our festival as a way to connect with our local business partners. But a lot of it is, honestly, it's emails, it's phone calls that just say, you know, we respect what you're doing. We think the programs that you have are great. You know, have you ever thought about doing something related to our feature? Sometimes we go that route, or sometimes it's, you know, what are your goals? What are your what is the mission of your organization, and how can the festival add value to that? So it's really just a wonderful sort of collaborative conversation that we have. And our virtual kickoff party is a way to build that community as well. So getting folks all on the same call early enough in the year that they can start thinking about, that's when we unveil what our feature is. They can start thinking about what types of events and programs that they would really want to bring to their communities in the fall. And then our website is kind of the central station as far as how we coordinate that and collect those events through our intake form and that sort of thing. So it's been just a wonderful, again, best part of my job is just getting to meet these local experts throughout the state that are just so passionate about what they do.
Across the counties, there's a few sort of unifying events, if I could call them that, such as How It's Made Wisconsin, BioBlitz, Science in a Bag. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about what those are?
Yeah, great question. So the fact that the Wisconsin Science Festival is a statewide festival, it would be silly of us not to try and kind of coordinate a few statewide initiatives to really help expand upon that notion that we want to bring everybody into this this week of the festival. So all of those, the statewide initiatives that you mentioned, are a collaborative effort as well. Science in a Bag is something we started during the pandemic, where we assemble about 2,000 drawstring backpacks with hands-on science kits in them and distribute them to libraries throughout the state. So we partner with our colleagues at the Mortgage Institute for Research. We partner with the local library delivery system vehicle that gets to help us distribute them. And then the bags themselves have kits and materials from lots of local or statewide partners. So Agriculture in the Classroom and the Ice Age Trail Alliance. So again, it's just a way to connect some of those partners to our statewide audience during the week of the festival. And those libraries have been just phenomenal to work with, that they're so on board with distributing these bags, and some of them do programming around them. Some of them, you know, the best problem that we have during the festival is they run out of kits and on day one of the festival. But yeah, so having some of those statewide initiatives, the BioBlitz is a great one this year that we're partnering with the Wisconsin Sea Grant and the Wisconsin Water Library to help provide a little bit more resource as far as what a BioBlitz is, which is essentially just looking at nature around you and observing the living things that are around you in a finite amount of time. So yeah, really expanding upon the notion that the statewide component of the festival is kind of why we do what we do.
And could you tell us more about what BioBlitz is specifically and what the activity is?
Yeah, so we didn't come up with the term BioBlitz. It's kind of a known program, but we partnered this year again with the Wisconsin Sea Grant to reach local libraries throughout the state to help host their own BioBlitz and provide a little bit more resources. So, kind of what that looks like is coordinating a set amount of time. So, show up on a Wednesday at 3 p.m. and we're all going to go out into this part of our property, or we're going to meet at this park, and we're going to go around and make observations. And, you know, what insects do we see? What plants do we see? And there's a couple different ways to participate in a BioBlitz. You can either just record your own observations on a sheet of paper, the old-fashioned way, and all the way up to kind of what we encourage folks to do is using an app called iNaturalists. So It's identifying and observing just by taking photos with your phone. And then the app itself helps kind of log and confirm your observation so that it tracks it as actual scientific data that can be used.
Mm-hmm. So are these self-guided tours or are there occasionally some guided tours as well?
There's both, yeah. We don't, again, it's very community-driven in the sense that we don't prescribe exactly how we expect folks to do a BioBlitz or how we expect them to host a science festival event for that matter. So we kind of leave it up to what works best for them. Several of the libraries do want to do that, show up at this time. We're going to have a guided nature hike and we're going to do a BioBlitz at this time. Others are just really promoting the app, promoting just being curious in nature and getting outdoors. So we kind of leave it open-ended in that way. And I think, hopefully our science festival audience can gravitate towards what makes the most sense for them and maybe jump into, something that's a little bit outside their comfort zone just to try something new during the festival too. So
the Wisconsin Science Festival has events for people of all ages, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering if we could talk specifically about events for kids.
Sure, yeah. So you're right. It's events for all ages, and that's the part that we like to highlight. Our events for kids statewide, obviously, there's several different types of events going on, from story times to the guided BioBlitz nature walks to hands-on kind of family science nights at school districts. So statewide, there's a lot of different options, and our website is a great way to kind of filter by age if that's the best route to go. Here in Madison, we host a few different youth-focused events. We have a field trip day during the festival where we invite about 1,000 K-12 students to our Discovery Building to do some hands-on science activities with researchers and student organizations in our building. And that's a fun, crazy day. And then on the Saturday of our festival, so October 19th, we have our Community Expo Day. So very similar to our field trip day. It's just open to the public. There are several UW-Madison campus buildings that are open doing either open houses or guided tours kind of thing. It's I think one of the best parts about doing a festival is seeing those kind of aha moments or, a lot of my favorite photos from the festival every year are the big eyes and when they're holding a brain or they're seeing a bug for the first time, a cockroach for the first time or something like that. So seeing the festival through the eyes of youth is really inspiring.
And what about adults?
Adult, same thing. I guess that's seeing the festival through eyes of adults is also really inspiring because, you're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach. A lot of our adult-focused events are just a lot of fun. It's a good way to just kind of geek out with like-minded individuals and science enthusiasts. One of the events that I'm most excited about this year is our Big Ideas for Busy People event that we're hosting at the Majestic Theater downtown Madison on the Tuesday of our festival. So October 15th, it's an evening event. There'll be, open bar or a bar available, drinks available, and some really great science presenters talking about a wide variety of concepts from microbiology to AI to, climate change. So it's a great way to just incorporate, adults wanting to be curious and learn something as well during the week of the festival. We're adding some dance performances into that event this year, some art. There's going to be a fiddler. I'm very excited about that event. So I'm encouraging any of your listeners or audience members, if they want to just take in one festival event this year, I would highly encourage checking out Big Ideas for Busy People. It's a free event Tuesday night of the festival.
And for people who don't know, could you explain the concept of Big Ideas for Busy People?
Yeah, so it's been one of our festival mainstay events for, I think, almost since the beginning of the festival. And it's the concept of it is flash talks. It's quick scientific discussions or presentations meant to be a little bit more informal. It's not, flash talks are meant to be about 5 to 10 minutes long. So you can't really get too much into the weeds on some of the science, but it's a kind of a high level, fun, informal way to explore new topics. Yeah, this year we have four really great scientists that are presenting on their work and what they're passionate about, and incorporating dance performances in between those, kind of keeping it a little bit more like a science variety show, if you will, and fast-paced event, and a chance for the audience to ask some questions and maybe laugh a little and get curious. We have some fun hands-on activities that we're partnering with the Madison Children's Museum's Adult Swim folks to bring some just fun ways to engage with science that night.
Well, you're making me want to come for sure.
So. Yeah, sign up. Yeah, RSVP.
I think this is a good point to actually talk about sound waves. I think especially for WORT listeners, sure, who are interested in music. Could you explain what that is?
Yeah, sound waves is also, gosh, it's like, you know, picking your favorite kid. You can't always just, I wish I could talk for an extended amount of time on all of our events. But yeah, sound waves is one of the year-round programs that are housed within the Illuminating Discovery Hub that we mentioned before. But Dan Grabois, Professor Dan Grabois from UW-Madison, helped us start that program several years ago. It's been going for quite a few years now, and it's a way to combine music and science together. So the format of that program is there's usually four researchers that present for a short amount of about 10 minutes on their work, and it all kind of fits into a little bit of a theme this year. Our kind of running theme for Soundwaves is developing ideas. Which is purposely broad, right? It means a lot of things to a lot of people, but kind of really digging into what does it mean to develop an idea and how does that actually happen within the context of each of the presenters' work or research. And then at the end of those scientific presentations, there's a musical performance. So each sound waves, and there's usually four per year, there's a musical performance, and Dan does a wonderful job kind of tying it all together and making it make sense. And you get to dig into the musical performance a little bit as well, as far as how it fits into the theme of developing ideas or whatever the theme is. And it comes together so beautifully at the end of that event. So that's a fun one to check out. That'll be the Friday of our festival at the Discovery Building, 7:30 p.m. Definitely a more of an adult-facing event as well. And then those happen year-round. So we'll have three more iterations of that, all on the track of developing ideas.
Could you talk about some of the past Soundwave events? I think I remember looking on the website, and the theme was time, and then they did the quartet for the end of time, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, Soundwaves has been going on for several years now. And because there's four, sometimes it's a fun way to just kind of think about a theme or a concept that you can pick four different categories for. So I know we've done time, where it's like the celebrations of time, and then the presenters coming in are... Gosh, there was some fun ones that were thinking about the science of mortality and how even forensic scientists determine time of death, or geology, or, you know, how do we tell time in space? So just a lot of different ways to think about science and curiosity. The musical performances are always just so stunning as well at the end of it. I remember there was a violin performance at one of the recent sound waves that just the room was just dead silent after the performance because everybody was just so moved by it. So, yeah, I think that formula of combining music and science together, that audience is just so riveted and so into what that event is.
And there's so many events we could talk about. I'm wondering if you have any favorites that you want to bring to the attention of everybody.
Yeah, I mean, definitely big ideas for this year. Science on the Square is always just such a fun vibe downtown. I would say just check out our website and see what you're curious about. I could talk in detail about all of our events. We have, a mural unveiling or mural celebration on the Sunday of our festival as sort of a wrap-up. That'll be at State Line Distillery to celebrate a new mural that the Illuminating Discovery Hub's Science to Street Art program is producing. That's in the works right now. And just a fun way to celebrate the end of the festival. That'll be at State Line Distillery on October 20th. But yeah, just checking out our website. We have great filter tools on our website if you have specific interests, specific keywords, specific ages. There's an interactive map on our website, which is probably the easiest way to see things that are happening statewide. You can zoom into a specific area and check out what's happening. But yeah, just get out there and get curious and hopefully take in some of our festival events.
I hope we could switch gears a little bit and talk about how people can get involved in research throughout the year. What can people do to participate in science, whether at the Discovery Building or elsewhere? How can people get involved?
I think what my job is very focused on is community engagement with science. So public events, open to all ages, similar to the Science Festival. But there are events happening year-round, and we know that as a festival, but we just kind of zoom in on 1 week of it. But there's some really great programs through like Badger Talks or a new program this year that they started called Badgers on Tap. So there are pub talks happening year-round where it's just, a few scientists presenting at a brewery. I know there's like astronomy on taps. There's all sorts of different topics that you can explore. A lot of the venues that we have participating in the festival do year-round programming as well. So a good way is to kind of just explore the website even after the festival. Our events live on and you can kind of see what venues participate. Libraries have a really robust STEM programming, kind of time or monthly schedule as well. So I think another great way would be to just check out which venues are participating in the festival and go into their website, see what's on their event calendar year-round. And the Discovery Building itself has year-round programming. Like I said, our Soundwaves program continues throughout the year. We have an adult-facing lecture series called Crossroads of Ideas. That's a monthly lecture series focusing on just a wide variety of topics that are important to our community. Our November Crossroads of Ideas is already set to focus on astrobiology and astrochemistry, and that'll be a fun one. So staying in tune to our website, adding emails to the subscription button on our webpage to stay in tune with what's happening. I think, like I said, there's year-round events statewide, so just check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's been really great. And I encourage people to check out the website and see what's in store for this Wisconsin Science Festival week.
Yeah, for sure. WISCIFest.org is our website. And that's where you can learn about all the events and what's happening in your area.
And that was Sam Mulroney, the director of the Wisconsin Science Festival, which will be held October 14th through the 20th. Thank you for listening and have a great night.